The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to everyone who's joining us in person, and welcome to all those who are joining us online. It is good to be here together, and together we will experience God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. Today is going to be kind of a festive feeling today as we kick off our rally day and have a special blessing for all of our students returning to school. And in honor of that, we are to go back to our high festive feeling setting for liturgy. So for those of you who love great traditional Lutheran liturgy, today is your day. And the rest of you who maybe are unfamiliar with that, experience it and enjoy it. We'll have a few additional changes that we're adding into the service. So after the saying of the peace, we will be bringing the offering plate forward for a blessing. We are not sending it down the rows. Our offering basket is in the back. Wish before after service to put it, but we are going to be bringing it forward for our blessing. And as you see, our communion rails are up with our kneelers, and during communion we'll be invited to come forward, and you may either kneel to receive communion or stand. That option is for you. We just open up possibilities of encounter, and up to each of us to know how we wish to approach God at this sacred moment of communion. So be gracious to us all as we have a new pattern. I'm sure we will all make some mistakes as we get into this rhythm. We'll be patient with you, you be patient with us, and we have grace, and grace for us all. With all that being said, I invite you now to stand if you can, knowing that if you are unable to stand, the church stands with and for you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives us all our sins, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secret is hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of God, and by the authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Joy, holy, your dream.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Going to talk to you about this word called vocation. That's a big word, but that kind of means job sometimes. But job and vocation don't mean the same thing. Sometimes you can have a job and not a vocation. And vocations are what we do in the world to serve God and show God's love for all of us. And so the vocation of a farmer is to give food for the world. This is a holy and sacred task. Medical people provide the vocation of healing. And so all of us are called for a vocation of love and service in the world. And sometimes that vocation coincides with the job. But for all of our students, for those who are home sick, for those who are here, I'm going to ask you, what do you think your vocation right now in life is? Your vocation is to be a student, to love and serve God in your school, to love and serve God by learning wisdom and knowledge, so that when you grow up, you can serve and love God in the world. And now, right now, at your school, your vocation is to love and serve God by loving your other students, by learning, and by being a member of your community. And I do have some gifts for you, and so those who are not with us today can come get this in my office at any time, but I'm going to give you a bookmark, and you can put that on your schoolwork, and it has some Bible passages. And I want you, whenever you see this bookmark, to remember that the church loves you and supports you and is here praying for you and hoping for the best in this school year. And now, if you would all turn to your bulletin, we have special blessings. And so if everyone could out, extend your arm out in a blessing. And then we're going to pray for our students with us and apart from us. Blessings for this coming year. As we stand on the threshold of a new school year, let us lift the gift of each student that they carry with them. The spark of curiosity and potential. May you, O God, bless them on their journey, protect them from harm, and open them within them the boundless possibility that may lie in store. May they find joy in discovery, and may their minds be open to wonder.
May you bless them with courage and resilience.
Sunday school. We'll have Sunday school now as a pattern of first and third Sundays with special programs occupying that. Blessings.
Unforeseen days come to pass when Good morning.
Good morning.
Today I'll be reading the first reading. It will be in Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. A reading from Genesis. Hear now the word. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Soul, and forget not all God's benefits.
Second reading is a reading from Romans, chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. Hear now the word. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat. For God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. All those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. To this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will be accountable to God. Thanks be to God.
Church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, not seven times, but 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay his Lord, the Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of the slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seized him by the throat. He said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he should pay his debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to the Lord all that they had seen. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked one, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me.
should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave? This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So when my children were young, I'm always in the room, so I have to be careful. We'd like to go to Renaissance fairs in Washington, and Washington has a bunch of them. And I know, I think Oregon's got a few too. If you've never been to a Renaissance fair, it's quite the event. It's a medieval themed event in that Renaissance era, so everything is really historically accurate. You have knights, and then you have some Romans and some elves. As I said, it's very historically accurate, but it's also a lot of fun. And we would go, and of course, we'd have jousting and the knight battles, and all of that, of course, would be choreographed. You know, they trained for those stunts. It's more like a play. But one year, we came across an event. Whole troop of people, and then we realized that there really is a sport of medieval combat. And these guys dress head to toe in full armor, and yes, they have full swords and axes, and they go at it full bore, full contact. And you would think, oh, that sounds really, really dangerous, and it kind of looks dangerous. But when you're in full armor, and this is an international sport, by the way, they have international contests. When you're in full head-to-toe, full heavy-plated armor, you hit that other guy with a sword, it just makes a clang. You're this unstoppable beast of a thing in all this armor. And so, me and the boys were really excited about that. I at the time played rugby, and this looked like a whole lot of fun. And so these two opposing characters with swords and axes come together, and they start swinging as hard as they can, and clank. And pretty soon you realize that that's doing absolutely nothing. And at some point, the two of them realize that. And then at some point, it just comes this two-on-two brawl where one guy's just trying to knock the other guy down. And I think that's how they score it. Whoever falls down first wins. Becomes this brawl. And then just to bash the other guy in. And of course, that looked really fun. And like both Owen and Jacob, they had their toy swords at home, and they like to play knights and all that stuff. But the problem with the toy sword, of course, is if you swing it too hard, it really, really hurts. Even those foam-padded swords. And so they could never really go at it with one another. But now the possibilities opened up to them. If we only had that suit of armor, we could just hit each other as hard as we could. But of course, they knew I was going to get a suit of armor. But in something that would make Dan proud, they drove me to every garage sale in town for months and months to get catcher's mitts and helmets and lacrosse gloves and padding, shin guards, boots, and eventually they decked themselves out from head to toe sports pads, and they became these unstoppable padded knights. They even drove me to the hardware store. We got these PVC pipes and duct tape and foam to make their own swords. And then the day came when they, two of them and like 20 pounds of pads, walked out into the backyard to do medieval combat. And just like we saw at the Renaissance, it doesn't take very long swinging as hard as you can at the person, just hearing a clank. It just devolves into like two people trying to bash each other to the ground. And that's when the problem began, because Jacob was 4 years older, and at that time there was a huge size discrepancy. And so that is just not going to work. So I had to pull Jacob aside and say, hey, you know, this is not just bash your brother. And then the disappointment came. Like, you now have the power, you have the power, you have this
what is that for? It can't be just to bash your brother in. You've spent all this time, money, and effort to create this environment for the two of you can like have some fun, some camaraderie, some bonding moment between siblings. They can't, you have to use that power and authority appropriately. And as this was sort of sinking in on my oldest, he looked up at me and asked that all that important question. So, Dad, if I let him win every other time, then can I bash him?
That sounds like brother.
That sounds like brother. Nobody, you can't, because your authority, your power there is to bring each other together in something that's really, really fun. It's that moment, that Spider-Man moment, if you remember the Spider-Man from the early 2000s, with great power comes great responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I think we've all been in that moment where we had to learn, now that we have the power, we need to be responsible. And I had a superintendent at that time who had the solid mantra of the proper administration of your authority as a correctional officer. And he felt all problems of staff misconduct revolved around the improper use of your authority. And that is what I think is going on today in our text. Our text today, this last little bit of gospel, is the last little bit of a long, long section of scripture that we've been in for the last 2 months, or the last month, I should say. I cannot speak today. But we started this section about a month ago when Peter declared, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then we had a discussion about gates and keys. Peter was given some keys to open these gates of death. And remember, if you were here that Sunday, we talked about how gates are static, they're immovable, and yet this immovable gate will not defeat the church. And that implied that the church was going to come to this gate of death. But they don't have to batter it down, they don't have to have the siege weapon or the heavy armor, because they were given keys. And we've been journeying in this passage, and now this is the moment where Peter is going to ask that question of power and authority, because now he has this key to unlock this gate, and now Peter is going to question whether that key will also close the gate. And so he asks that question, "How many times, O Lord, must I forgive?" And that is the exact same question that Jacob asks. How many times do I get the bash? Of course, Peter is much more loving than poor Jacob was. He's going to give him 7 times. 7 times. And then I get to have the authority to bash, to close that. Now, of course, we all know what's going to happen in the next 6 chapters of this gospel, that Peter is going to deny Jesus 3 times. So that we only have 4 chances. And that is the problem with not forgiving, isn't it? We will all quickly run out. And so then Jesus tells a story, not just 7 times, Jesus says, but 77 times. In other words, more times than you can count. You forgive beyond the point of recalling how many times you forgive. And then comes a parable with 10,000 talents of debt. I know you all know what that means. No, it's a joke. The talent, 10,000 talents is about $3.5 billion. So we have a forgiveness beyond accounting for a debt beyond countable. So no way this poor servant is ever going to, ever in his lifetime, have the money to pay off this. And so these two numbers stand in tension together to say we forgive beyond count, a debt beyond count. And as I said, these texts are all very interrelated, so it's one long piece. So
As we journeyed last week and we asked the question of what the purpose of resolving conflict is, we said the goal of conflict in a community is reconciliation and wholeness. The goal of forgiveness in a community is the same, is the other end of that spectrum. This is not a forgive and forget sort of thing where we don't worry about the harm other people do into our community. It's an issue of forgiveness because there is no future without forgiveness. That is a book written by the late Bishop Desmond Tutu about South Africa. And after Nelson Mandela became in power, there was a big concern. Part of the country was demanding for vengeance and accountability. Another part of the country just wanted to forgive and forget, and there was everyone else in the middle that just wanted to survive. And so what they did in South Africa was called a truth and reconciliation moment, where there would be amnesty after a trial, but only if the person accused confessed to the crime. You see, forgiveness requires an accounting. Forgiveness and wholeness requires that we confront issues of harm, like we talked about last week. Forgiveness requires wholeness because there is no future without forgiveness. Because without forgiveness, we will all one day be on that other side of the person we wronged. And it's wholeness that's in mind here. And wholeness and healing is what God has done in Christ Jesus. Come in the flesh, come down here to show us, to die for our sins, to open that gate of death, and to show us this divine miracle that God is no longer in heaven but on earth. God is no longer up there but in us and with us. And so without forgiveness, we alienate ourselves from the other there who is also one with God. That the spark of divinity is with that person too. To refuse to forgive is to alienate ourselves from another part of God. And so there is no future without forgiveness. And that is the message that Jesus conveyed to this church. Our power in this great suit of armor is to forgive. And that is the proper administration of our authority as a church, is to seek wholeness and forgiveness and accountability. And all of that to lead us to a deeper understanding of this grace of God that is poured out in Christ Jesus, that unites us back to God, that gives us the possibility of a world where sin and death no longer reign, and invites us all into this meal to share together, that meal conveying to us again that God is here out for each of us. Amen.
Remembering the caring and generous works of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our church neighbors. We pray for the church. Bless the missions and ministries of diverse congregations, that they uplift the good news of salvation in ways that can be understood. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We pray for creation. Send rain to lands experiencing drought and healing to rivers clogged with pollution. Enrich the soil for trees and plants. Protect the crops needed to feed those who hunger. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We pray for all who govern. Encourage those in positions of power to lead with empathy, practice forgiveness, and care for those who struggle. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We pray for our neighbors who face illness of any kind, for those strained financially, for all living with chronic pain, mental illness, the disease of addiction, or otherwise afraid or in harm's way. Protect all who cry out for mercy, especially Aaron, Kevin, Kelly, Clifford, Madeline, Twyla, Karen, Colin, Joe, Susan, David, Fran, Meredith, Marcia, Paul, the family of Ara Haddock, victims of the war in Ukraine, earthquake in Morocco, St. Timothy and recovery efforts in Maui. Merciful God, we pray for this congregation. Open our hearts to practice intentional invitation. Help us to forgive each other. Practice patience and choose welcome over judgment. Move us to care for those in our community seeking refuge and safety. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We give thanks for the saints who died in faith. Show us how to live faithfully, creatively, and lovingly in your church and world, like Hildegard, Abbess of Bingen, whom we commemorate today. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Remember us according to your steadfast love as we offer these in the prayers of our heart, trusting in your compassion made known through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around us. We invite you all now to come back together and stand as we sing our offering hymn 88.
Amen.
are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering, therefore, his command, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and the Holy Spirit, to bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, so that all we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessings and grace, and may be formed to live as your holy people. To you, blessed Trinity, be all glory and honor in your church, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as our Lord is taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, and all here are welcome to come forward at this table. In just a minute, the usher will come forward, and we're going to have you come forward and come to from right, fill in from right to left. You may receive communion either kneeling or standing. We ask you to hold out your hand, receive the element in your hand, and then when the wine comes, for you to reach in and grab either the darker liquid, which is wine, or the lighter liquid, which is juice. If you wish to only receive a blessing, come in with your orange cross, but know that anyone who comes forward will eat at this table, for this is God's table for us all. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Savior, keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Blessed be your name, O God. We have feasted on your word, Christ Jesus, the joy and delight of our hearts. Strengthened by this food, send us out together, gather the world to your banquet, where none are left out and all are satisfied. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
We take a moment of pause for any announcements that we might have in our community. And, we got one over here. Arnie's got the microphone. We got Rhonda.
I just want to remind everybody the baseball hats are in, so if you've ordered one, let me know. If you want to buy one, let me know, and we'll get them to you so we can get the word out that we are Atonement Lutheran Church serving outreach in our community. Thank you.
So after service, we got root beer floats to kick off rally day and send our students out. So please join us for that. On Thursdays, we have a beach walk at 1 o'clock. If you wish to have some time with just as a community on the beach, meet there at 1 o'clock on Thursday. I don't know how much longer we're going to have good weather, so take advantage of that if you wish on Thursday. And please pay attention to the bulletin for all the great events coming up. And with that all, let us prepare our hearts for the benediction. The God of glory, Jesus Christ, name above all names, and the Spirit who lives in you, bless you now. Go in peace, serve the Lord.